About the Sacrifices, a Messianic Perspective on Messiah and the Levitical Sacrifices, Disc 1, The Holy Sacrifices. Why do we start the children with Leviticus, and not with Genesis? The Holy One, blessed be He, said, "Since the children are pure, and the sacrifices are pure, let the pure come and occupy themselves with things that are pure." Vayikra Rabbah 7:3. When our Master Yeshua was 5 years old, he began to study the book of Vayikra, Leviticus. In the days of the Master, and even in modern Judaism, the formal religious education of a child begins at the age of 5, and it begins with the study of Leviticus. It seems like an unnatural place to begin. It would seem that a better place to start would be maybe the creation story, the narrative of the creation and the flood and the call of Abraham back in Genesis. Nonetheless, throughout Jewish history, the children have begun their studies with the book of Leviticus. Maybe it's puzzling for us to think that little children should be forced to study the dreadful laws of blood and sacrifice which constitute the first chapters of Leviticus. We would not even impose a serious study of Leviticus upon our seminary students, much less on our 5-year-olds. The reason for our aversion to Leviticus is largely based upon our revulsion at the thought of animal sacrifice. Within the mainstream of Western Christianity, there exists an unconscious reluctance to acknowledge that our God is a God who not only chose to be worshipped through the sacrifice of animals, but, in fact, took pleasure in the fragrance of burning meat rising from the altar. We have so sanitized and whitewashed God that the demand for animal sacrifice seems to contradict everything we know about Him, everything we have made God into. The laws of sacrifice and sacrificing disconcert us. When the biblical text begins to teach us about priests throwing blood around and cutting out the fat surrounding the diaphragm and the two kidneys, we tend to become nauseous rather than edified. We quickly explain that the sacrifices were only there to teach the Israelites about Yeshua, and we comfort ourselves with the notion that the New Testament abolishes sacrifice. But this statement is a gross oversimplification. There are 5 different classifications of sacrifice, each brought for different reasons. There are dozens of types of bread offerings, wine libations, water libations, additional offerings, complex ritual procedures, and chapter after chapter of text dedicated to the subject. There are procedures for ordaining priests and instructions for their sanctification and purification. The Bible is not stingy on details concerning these ritual laws. But of what value is it for us to profess that the Messiah fulfills the sacrifices when we know virtually nothing about those same sacrifices? To simply dismiss it all by saying, "Well, Yeshua fulfilled the sacrifices," does a great disservice to the Bible and to the Master himself. If we truly believe that Yeshua's death and resurrection fulfilled the institution of sacrifice and sacrificing, then we, as believers, of all people, are all the more obligated to invest our energy in studying those institutions. Only to the extent that we understand those institutions can we hope to understand the work of our Messiah. So we are going to spend some time thinking about the biblical sacrifices, the Levitical sacrificial system, over the course of these 4 audio CDs. All of the material that I will be presenting to you is material that I originally developed for First Fruits of Zion's Torah Club programs. If you want to study these things in greater detail, I recommend that you begin to do so systematically through our Torah Club commentaries. I do not hesitate to recommend Torah Club studies. No book, CD set, DVD program, seminar, or conference will substitute for serious, systematic study through the Torah, and Torah Club is designed to bring you through the scriptures according to the weekly synagogue readings, the same method of Bible study the early believers employed. On this first CD, The Holy Sacrifices, I will simply present to you the broad concepts of the sacrificial system as presented in the Torah Club commentaries on the first chapters of Leviticus. The second and third CDs contain lectures titled The Temple Sect and The Heavenly Temple. Both are lectures I presented live to the First Fruits of Zion Shavuot Conference in Hudson, Wisconsin in 2009. They are critical lectures in which we will discuss the problem of whether or not the sacrifices are abolished by the gospel. The last lecture on the fourth audio CD, titled The Lamb That Was Slain, will explore the concept of the sacrifice of Messiah. As we begin to study the laws of sacrifice, we will do well to remember that the sacrificial service is the method that God chose, regardless of our own personal predilections. It's a method of worship that has been ordained from heaven. Sacrifice is a universal religious reflex. Humanity is apparently hardwired to recognize our need for atonement in the face of the divine. The Torah puts form, structure, and definition around that God-given human impulse. Whether or not we think that the rituals are rational is completely irrelevant. God has ordained it. Therefore, we should be less concerned about why sacrifice was or is necessary and more concerned with what God intends to communicate to us by our obedience to His commandments. Of course, without a tabernacle or a temple, the laws of sacrifice are largely irrelevant. We cannot practically keep any of these commandments. In fact, to do so would be a violation of the Torah. And this is an important point. When people start getting into messianic practice, maybe taking on the Sabbath or the dietary laws, one of the first things they are likely to hear from friends or family with theological concerns, they might hear the question, "Are you going to start offering sacrifices now?" But the answer is in the Torah itself. The Torah actually forbids the offering of sacrifices outside of the temple in Jerusalem. So the answer to the question is, no, I'm not, since that would be a violation of the Torah's laws regarding sacrifices. But since you, my friend, are not under the law and believe the law is canceled, then you are free to offer sacrifices wherever and whenever you want. So the question should be, if you think the Torah is canceled, then why aren't you offering sacrifices? In the last chapter of the book of Exodus, Moses and Israel encountered a problem with the new tabernacle. We read there at the end of Exodus, it says, "Thus Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It seemed that the tabernacle was a success. The presence of God had taken up residence within it. The tabernacle had become the dwelling place of God, and that was exactly what it was designed to do. Yet there was a fundamental problem with the entire tabernacle concept, perhaps an unforeseen design flaw. Even if God could dwell among the Israelites in a holy place, his Mikdash, his Mishkan, that didn't mean that the Israelites could have any communion or interaction with him. God was still holy. Man was still unholy. How could the unholy man come near the holy God? This is the problem of holiness. This was the problem that Moses faced at the end of the book of Exodus. God had taken up residence in the tabernacle, but he was unapproachable, and even Moses himself, who had stood in his presence on Mount Sinai, could not enter the tabernacle. And this is where the book of Exodus ends. It's a cliffhanger. It leaves us with the question, how are the Israelites supposed to approach God? How are they to come near to him? And it's the riddle of human desire. We desire communion and fellowship with God. The natural inclination of our heart is opposed to God. We are unable to come near to him. He is life, we are death. He is pure, we are polluted. He is infinite, we are finite. He is holy, we are common. It's impossible for us to enter into his presence. And this is the plight of mankind, even in our day, just as it was in the days of Moses.